So, Bruchim Abayim to Shir. It's I'm kind of thrilled to be able to have a shir again with everybody, Bez Hashem. The sefer that I picked, I felt I would look for something small enough that we can actually accomplish something and yesodistic enough. So I picked one of Ramchal's Moses Sfarim are kind of brief. And this one especially, and yet has a lot of Yesodis here. So, Bez Hashem, hope to be able to, so we'll be able to accomplish in a reasonable amount of time some important ideas. The sefer that I'm using, it's a collection of the Ramchal's Mamorim, which means that they are of different, they are small-sized essays, so to speak. There are the sefer I'm using is called Mamor Rachal, which Feldheim put out. Somebody named Binyamin Efrosi was the one who put it out. There are some other Mamorim that not here. We'll try to, when we get to it, we'll try to pick up. There is one thing here in the sefer that's very nice that I'll make use of if you can get hold of it. In the back of this each section, he has the parallel Mamorim and Adi Mamorim. Adi Mamorim is a Kabbalah Sefer Ramchal, really, really deep. It's on the Idra, but he picked out the pieces that are not Kabbalah and the pieces that make sense over here that we can, that enrich and add a lot to what it says. Okay, Aleph, Bibayri is Barach, and I assume we'll have towards the end we can have questions and answers if people are interested in talking. Aleph, Bibayri is Barach. Mashet Sorech Sheteda Betchilas. The first thing that you need to know is who? Sheyesh Motsui Echot. There is one being, or I guess that's the best way to describe it. Adoin Kolanim Tsois, the master of other beings. Shehim Tsiyom Be'eshe that brought them into existence when he wanted, umekaimem kol hazman sheyirtzeh, and he keeps them in existence as long as he wants, v'sholet ben shlita gemura v'kelis v'ashmai. So the Ramchal in his brevity includes an awful lot in what he says, and let's go slowly. There is something. What exactly are we describing? The Ramchal called this the Maimar HaIkrim, which means the fundamentals upon which everything else is built. The word Ikr in this case doesn't mean Ikr in the sense of important, more important. Rather, it means things that are absolutely necessary for the next step. In other words, if a person's Torah, so to speak, has tzitzis but not tefillin, he's missing tefillin. He's not missing tzitzis because tefillin doesn't rest on tzitzis. Tzitzis doesn't rest on tefillin. Each one is a branch on its own. If a person has a west wing and an east wing of a house, if one of the wings got clipped by a tornado, it's not going to seriously affect the other wing. But if something fundamental got affected, everything goes. So if a person, it's important in the logical understanding of Torah, what is structural at a very, very ground level, and what comes in at some later place. So this is a sefer of Ikrim, and the first thing is that Tchilas HaKol Hu Sheyesh Motzui Echad. That there are two, it means at the very bottom of our pyramid of ideas and fundamentals stands the fundamental that there is one Matsu. Both of these words are extremely significant. If we to ask ourselves, how do we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzius in what are we describing? And the answer is that which exists. nothing else exists except as an effect, as a branch of Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. And this is something that the Rambam is, when he starts the first sefer, he calls it Matzri Rishon. There is a first and primary being. So everything else is secondary to his existence. The best way that we see this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that we call him at the most fundamental level is Yud Hey and a Vav and a Hey, which means the one that exists, existence. The word Hoya, Yiyah, Vayihi, all those means to be, to exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that which exists, and at the root level, there's only one thing that exists, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else is secondary. Just like, let's give just an analogy. I say that elements are a more fundamental form of existence than compounds. Everything in the world started with elements, and all the compounds of the world, which is the vast majority of things in the world, are compounds of some sort of that of those elements. So existence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique, and everything else exists because of it. And like he says, Shehim Tziyam Be'esha Ratza, he gave existence to everything what he wanted. So the first thing is that there is a Matsui, and the Rambam said, and the Ramchal calls it Matsui Echad, one. Now, let's understand where he's coming from, why. We need to understand why is Echad the description of Kadosh Baruch Hu that forms the basis of our Emunah. We say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I mean, yes, it's true that Kadosh Baruch Hu is one, but why is that a very, very important, or is that the core essence of our belief? I mean, let's say if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be a Chavrusa Shav, Chas V'Shalom, or I don't want to say the word Trinity, or Board of Directors, Rahman al-Islam, would that make things different? I mean, could everything else not be? In other words, is it affect anything more than just this point of belief? And the answer is very much so, because you can't reduce everything to three or to four or to five. Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the root of everything. If there are many roots, then they no longer are the roots of everything. Then something else. Let's give an example. If I say that smoking causes cancer, that's a statement that's possible. Then I come along and I say, well, smoker causes cancer, too much sun causes cancer, something else, asbestos causes cancer, and so on. So now I have to reformulate my statement. I have to say physical cellular stress causes cancer. Because if I have two items, it's not this and this, it's something else which is really at the root of both. So whenever I'm trying to find a shoresh can be only one. So the minute I have two, there's a simpler way of reducing it to a common denominator. If I say Yankel is the only one who has a key to the house, so Yankel is the only one who has a key to the house. If Yankel and Beryl have a key to the house, then there's a different description. It's the people that own the house. It's the people that are friends. It's the people that have things in the house. I'm always going to have a more root description. So when we speak about a Kadosh Baruch Hu being a Motzi Echad, it means the understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is A, pure existence be one and only one. One meaning I've hit a shoresh, I've hit a root, and you can't reduce it to anything further than that. The word gods by us is not a false statement. The word gods is an impossible statement. That's a very important piece to bear in mind. The word gods by in our emuna is an impossibility. Because when we talk about something that's a shoresh of a metzias, if two items exist from nowhere, then there's a new description where they exist from. They don't. Its existence doesn't boil down to two. Then what do these two boil down to? Okay, Adoyin kol ha-nimtzois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adoyin of all nimtzois. In other words, very, very central to the description of God, what he is, also means God is the moral master of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just in his own existence without anything yachid, but he is the master of everything else that exists. Why? Shem tziyam ve'esh ratzah. He was mamsi them when he wanted. So in a certain sense, they all got existence because of him. Let's talk a little bit about this point also. The Rambam also has this very much at the core of his emunah and havana. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I take things that existed before and build them together, I join them together, and I make something that is a combination of things. So I didn't add anything essential to it. So the table can stand even when I walk away. I gave birth to a child. It's you can't get more of a so-called essential kesher. And yet, as soon as the child is born, he's his own person, independent. He can walk away, and you know, al kenyazov it says. So he does walk away. So all of those are cases where what I did was I facilitated elements coming together. I acted as a catalyst. But let's take an example that is relevant to us. Imagine I am dreaming, or better yet, I'm fantasizing. I don't know what, an island somewhere, a Caribbean island that I own. I'm fantasizing. How long does that fantasy last? The answer is exactly as long as I want it. The minute I don't want it, it isn't. That fantasy had no metzias except through my projection. So whenever the relationship is that I am mamzi something when I want, so the thing itself, its existence is exactly my ratzon, and that's all it is. And therefore, it's something which has no self-existence, measured by the fact that we are so that means that it is incapable of existing on its own without anything else. I want to refer to another word here in this line up here, and that is the word ratza that keeps coming up. A very, very tricky word, and the trickiness of it lies in two ways. First of all, we tend, the word ratzai is, in English, let's take a pair of synonyms for the word ratzai. There is will and there is desire. Those are two words that are synonyms for this. The word desire, craving, denotes a dependency on my part. It denotes a weakness on my part. You're not supposed to eat this and this, but I really want to. I really crave it. So whenever I speak about wanting something in the way I've just spoken now, really I'm expressing an inherent lack or weakness. I want a glass of water. I'm dying of thirst. Or I love this cake. It looks absolutely scrumptious. So I'm expressing a lack of a dependency on something. So when I speak of desire / craving, then I'm speaking of a deficiency. Now I may be strong enough that I can grab the cake, but at the end of the day, I'm expressing something I'm missing. The word ratzon only expresses a one-way street. You know, who's in charge of whether or not I'm going to get a grant? He's the boss, and he's the total boss, and it's up to him. In other words, the word ratzon over there is describing a totality of the person's shlita. So we need to understand that the word ratzon over here implies a totality of control. It doesn't require an act of mine. Let's go back. If I built a sandcastle and I'm not happy with it, I need to topple it. I need to do a maisa because it has some existence. If I'm fantasizing about a sandcastle, all I need to do is to stop fantasizing. And it's the sandcastle or whatever castle is gone. Even a real castle that I fantasize, I stop fantasizing, it no longer is there. So Ratza implies that it never has its own metzias, one. Two, there is another step lower than Ratza, closer home to us, that is not as all-inclusive as Ratza. And that's Chachma. So let's say I want to build a house. So if I'm a kid building a house, I build a house, however, whatever fantasy I have. I want a green Lego stick, red, two floors, a lopsided floor, whatever I plug in, that's what's there. Imagine building a real house. So there are laws of physics that dictate what strength support I have and what would work and what won't work. There are county rules that tell me what I can and what I can't do. All of those are different. Laws. So if I ask a person, so and so is the owner of this house and he built it with his own two hands. Why did he build it this way? So because he wanted is part of the answer. It's also because different things dictated it, and Chachma guided the person through the process. But that's all. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I talk about something that's Ratzon, it means there's nothing at all that forced him to be X, Y, or Z. The person could have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created people this way, that way, the other way. Ratzon implies totally unfettered, unbound by anything else. So Ratzon implies also a hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I can't even explain why. Anytime HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts through Chachma, it means that I can grasp some part of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you do X, you get such and such a punishment, get karis hashem. Okay, so Ploini Almoni is getting karis, and he did a safera. I can draw the line, and I can say, this caused this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the system. Ratzon is a stage before that. All it depends on is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants or not. Another person's ratzon is unfathomable to us. Lamarshal, if I asked you, why did so-and-so hire Yanko to be the CEO of the company? So one answer would be because the company was in difficult straits, the company has the following challenges, and this person brings the strengths needed for it, or the company is poised for great advancement, and so-and-so has what it takes. Those are all answers that express a chachma. If I can't tell why, I say, I don't know, just wanted to. He's the boss, so he owns the firm, 100% of the stock, it's his company. He wanted. And so when I say that he wanted, what I'm expressing is he did it, but I have no handle on why he did it. When we speak about the Ritzonius Baruch, so at the fundamental level of the Bria, it all must boil down to a Ratzon. I can speak about a Kadosh Baruch who's, once he set up a world that he wants Tzidkis and Toiv and Torah, and he doesn't want Ra and Rishis and so on and so forth, and he created Schar and Einish and Hanahog and Ashkacha Protis. So all of those, now that I know this, I can answer a lot of things lefize. Chachma means that I'm answering things lefi something, based on the rules and regulations. And what we have here, this is what's coming here. So shehim tziyam be'esha ratza means the only thing, the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists at the time of giving existence to the world. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Because he wanted to. Because he wanted to is, it's telling me that I can't know anything more than that. When the answer is why makes sense when I get to the next step. Let's take a parallel example in science. It helps understand. Science consists of many layers of understanding. So being that we know that gravity works in a certain way, that's why certain things go in a certain orbit. That's why certain things are shaped a certain way. That's why certain things will go in a certain way. But if the most I can say is there's gravity, then the question why gravity, I have no answer. And if I discover gravity too because the field is bent or whatever it is, then that becomes the bottom line. I can't go more bottom than that. Ritzoina Yisbarach is the most bottom hanhaga that we can get to. It is the fundamental because it's coming from no place. Ratzon is something that, by definition, when I shrug my shoulders, if that's what he wanted, I can't tell you why he did it, just what he wanted to do, then I have not, that means I can't attribute it to anything before that. So the etzem bringing into existence of the Bria happens by Eis Sheratza. And therefore, Umekaimam calls Man Sheyirtze. This, I guess, is a sort of, what's the right word for it? It's something that is significant in terms of Emunah. If our attitude is that we have our own existence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our own existence, then once we have our independent existence, we have a tiny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you take so away? How you talking? So then I have to say, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu probably knows more facts about this guy than I know, and you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. But that's already a question asked Shalom B'Mkomo. The real issue is we owe our existence to Ritzono, so we're only Kaim Kozan Sheyirtze. Ratzon has no, Ratzon has no questions preceding it by definition. So I can say, why does this person try to get this job? Because he's looking for COVID. Why is this person looking for COVID? That's because that's what he is. Or, let's say I can give an example. I say because he was denied COVID as a young boy and now wants to make up for it. Great. So why is the need for COVID expressed all this way? At some point, I'm going to say, I don't know. This is the way it is. So, Mekayim HaKol Zman Sheyirtze means our existence is totally not in chachmasai, but mitzaynei. It's not, you know, we have already reasons why, but our core existence is because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. V'sholet ben shlita gemura, and he is totally shalit. Hu hakel yisbar shmoi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined now. With all the things he said, that is definition. A side point, always, whenever you're talking about believing in Hashem and God, we're not talking about the word the way we say it. When a guy or somebody who speaks only English says God, is that emunah? Is not emunah? The answer is, it really depends on what is definition, not the letters. The letters are helpful because they are an exact description. They're some sort of deeper inyan, however you want to say it. But that's not really the significant piece. The significant piece is what's our description. And the way he puts it down over here, this is our core description. That at the very root, there is that which exists and exists be'etzem, and it's only one, and the only one is not a mikra, like it happened to be one, but it's one be'etzem. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. It's something that exists, he's one, meaning it's not an example of something, but it's atzmius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everything else its existence, and the connection lies through Ritzoino Yisbarach, meaning that all we can say about it is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. We have no other because we cannot, there's no way we can talk about why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu want. We just don't have that ability to talk about it, to understand it in any way. And on the other hand, it's totally dependent on Ratzon. There's no situation where, okay, the rules of the game say I need to live, so you must give me life. It's all mitzias is there by Ratzon. If a Kashrut was the root of our existence, then our existence is a product of his Ratzon. And Sherot Rashlita Gmura, and therefore, it's not possible that there be the possibility of any facet of our lives being outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like our lives have no meaning of its existence without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so mainly every facet of life. The same thing, just like my fantasy, that island in the Caribbean that I'm fantasizing, it has sunshine when I want it to have sunshine. And absolutely, there's nothing happens on that island that is not what I want. So I have total shlita over it. Whether I choose to use it, whether I let it go on its own, and so on, is something else. Okay, so we did the first paragraph, and maybe if people want to ask, I'm still not bucky how one goes about it, but we're going to try to, anybody wants to ask a question or something? Just introduce yourself.
Oh. Hey, Rabbi, it's Pinchas Friedman.
Pinchas Friedman, okay.
All right. So first of all, thank you very much for giving the shiur. It's really meaningful.
Likewise, yeah. I want to tell you, it's as meaningful as you. It's I cherished everybody's here, and I'm happy we can be together again. Yeah.
Yeah, and Peshkoach to Yitzi for setting it up.
Okay.
So it seems like if we look in the Torah, there's two really foundational parts. There's Maaseh Bereishis and then Aser Sederos and Nochesh Amokecha Asher Tzisicha. And it seems like he's kind of covering some of both. You know, Maaseh Bereishis is more about just imposing on creation, and Nochesh Amokecha is about building the relationship. But he's leaning more towards Maaseh Bereishis, just kind of describing existence. Does that reflect sort of the character more of Maaseh Bereishis as the starting point of the whole logical process?
Yes, for two reasons. First of all, chronologically it went like that. And secondly, we ourselves also our understanding of Ruchnius comes through the physical. Let me use an example from science. We think of theories because of physical phenomena we observe. You know, the apple bouncing, the head, light bending, and then we understand the law behind it. So even though the way it happens starts with the law, and the physical phenomena comes afterwards, it's an example of it. We understand it by first observing phenomena and being able to extrapolate from that, a shoresh. So Bracious, and like Rashi really, I mean, well, someone told me to speak maybe why, you know, Rashi has to, like, Hoya Tzorech Aschil Olam HaChodesh Hazeh, the Tachos of the Briyas for Matan Torah is for the realization of a Ruach Mystic life in a physical self. But our awareness that, and he will, in other words, he's very structured, so he starts with Bari Yisbarach, then he works his way up, step by step, to, he's going to get to purpose of man, to Ruchnius, to Torah, and the Cholum Cholum. Anybody else? I have to unmute Pinchas. Okay, so Bezus Hashem, I hope that we'll do next week. Bezus Hashem, maybe next week is still okay. So we'll next week, if the Olam is game to do it till right before Pesach, I'll speak about Pesach in the week, the last week before Pesach. So I see somebody typed in Lee. I guess you're muted. How can we have a meaningful relationship with something we can't understand? If God has not assembled a reason that is entirely unpredictable, let alone from the fact we don't know how to please him. That's Lee. I'm a Chunish Shmuel. Shmuel, I'm a Chunish Lee. I think, you know what, I can probably unmute you if you want to ask it. I can't figure out. One, two. Okay, I'm not going to. Yeah, Lee. Okay, I got you. Lee, I'm going to unmute you. If that'll help. Okay, you're unmuted, Lee. Lee?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Okay. So this is something. Let me. I guess maybe we should mute you. I'm on my way home, so can't speak. Okay, good. So the best muscle we can have is, and it is, the truth is, in a very big picture, what you're saying is a struggle between the more we speak about Hashem being transcendent and le'elo le'elo, the less we can relate to it. The more we relate to it, we have a tendency to make it into something human or quasi-human, and there's always a problem with that. But I guess we'll have to look at it as a muscle, like a computer with a screen. What the computer really is, the electric pulse going back and forth, even computer language, machine language, is something that we have no shaychus to, and we really can't interact with. And yet, the screen, the display, is a very meaningful interaction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a world of interaction with us. He shows us pleasure and displeasure, and ahava and kibbutz, and many ways that we have a sense of ritzoine, whether it's toiv or not. But in an essential way, we can't. You're right. In an essential way, banu or shparku means on that level of interaction, not the essence. Yes, anybody else? Okay. So, I'm Maisha. Hello?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Shmi, Rabbi.
Shmi, yeah.
Is it fair to say, though, that just like we can look into, like, the Bria, and we can see, like, commonality between some laws of science, like, for example, we could say, you know, that in evolution or natural selection, that when we trace it back, then we see that for some reason, that things are supposed to continue mm-hmm. to go on, and they're supposed to evolve, right? So we see that Hashem is that a way, like in nature, in the Bria, that Hashem is giving hints to the Ratzon, and then obviously on a much higher level than the Midos of Hashem or through the Torah, that we're able to relate to his Ratzon through the Midos that we see that Hashem, you know, defines himself by. Is that fair to say or no?
I'm not sure what your analogy is. You want to say just like what? Pinpoint that analogy. I was curious what you said about the...
So for example, like, if like you ask an atheist, like they'll talk about evolution, they'll talk about certain laws of nature, right? So yeah. One of the things that natural selection or survival of the fittest or many of these things have the same thread that's in the Bria, right? That for some reason things are supposed to be good and they're supposed to get better or they're supposed to you know evolve, right? Whereas there's no reason.
Let me explain the big difference between the two. If anybody who's looking for natural explanations looks from before. In other words, imagine if I see a ball rolling down a hill. My question is not going to, my explanation is never going to be the ball wanted to lay down on the beach. Even though, let's say on the beach it's much better for the ball, it's what pushed it from the top, the slope, the you know, it's slippery, whatever it is. When I see a person do something, I always ask myself, towards what end is he doing it? So it's very important to bear in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll talk about it in a second, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's a tachlis. You know, it's Ratzon is identified with the tachlis in the Bria. And we'll talk more about it as we go along. Whereas the evolutionist or the naturalist is a better word to say, you can only talk about causes, never a tachlis. It's anathema to have a tachlis. Okay.
This is Moshe Crane.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to explain HaKadosh Baruch Hu to children in a way that they can understand, but also not using crossing the line?
If you talk about activities, Hashem cares for us, Hashem wants to hear from us, without saying, you know, Hashem has a long white beard, or so that, you know, a kid will slowly form the image, or hopefully lack of image, from the way you describe it. So if you attribute to Hashem things that can be attributed to him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to do bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares very much as to this. If you're paraphrasing plus that way, that's fine. You obviously don't want to talk about anything else. And it's hard. It's a concept that slowly a child will figure it out. I mean, children have a problem with any abstract concept. It's maturity to be able to abstract things and understand it as in like justice. You know, justice, a kid is what justice is. Your answer will be, well, if you hit Reuven hits you back. But that's something, that's the only way a child, and the truth is, it's from those pictures that a child extrapolates and forms a bigger concept. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't give pictures, and you shouldn't, and you just say, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us, you know, things of that nature.
Can I have time for one more?
One more, yeah.
Hi, Rebbe, it's Penny Roth.
How are you, Penny?
Well, Baruch Hashem, so I, you know, you ask your questions based on where, on your, how we perceive life. So I live in California now. So, how did you, Asani Kirtso, no.
So what?
When we say the Lashon, when a woman says the Lashon, she says Asani Kirtso, no.
Yeah.
Ratzon. So you're saying it's coming from a deeper place than an Ish?
Anything that we don't have an answer for, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, means we're tapping in at the level of Ratzon. It has a problem because we feel deeply unsatisfied unless we could put our hands around it. On the other hand, We know that we're tapping into something much deeper. A woman, the fact that she has less mitzvahs, the fact that, you know, this, you know, it's something that it has a more vulnerable role and so on, is the person says, Raja, this is what you wanted. Just like a person who's very, very gifted thanks for his gifts and usually says, well, I know why you gave me these wonderful gifts because I'm a great person, I can do wonderful things with it. A person who was born with a shortage of abilities says, I don't know why, but I see that you wanted it. And I will, you know, this is for me to do with what you wanted. Okay, good, sir, Rabbi Isai. So, Bez Hashem next week again. Kol Tov.
You just couldn't do that.